The Good Game Guys podcast contains adult language and some content that may not be suitable for everyone. Parental discretion is advised.
This week on The Good Game Guys, we have a big helping of gaming news, from spicy Apex Legend leaks to more of our recent love for Microsoft, all the way to some Twitch shenanigans that broke some records. After the break, we have our first guest here on the podcast, one of our good friends who's also a Twitch streamer, here to chat with us about his game of the choice for this week, Dead Space 2. Stick around, and as always, be sure to send us your questions and game suggestions via email, goodgameguyspod@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much.
Welcome to episode 11 of The Good Game Guys, everybody. Devon, how are you?
Ooh, what up, baby? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I'm a 4.5 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5. I like that.
Could always be a little bit better, but overall, pretty great.
Hell yeah. I love it. I'm feeling a good 4.5, you know. I got the Johnson & Johnson flowing through me, baby. So that 0.5 is being taken off.
Ooh, did they come to take it back yet? Do they have to give you the suck syringe and take it back out?
I really do feel like Thanos when he put the Infinity Gauntlet on. I was like, yes, I have this power surging through me. And then by the end of it, I felt like him after he like destroyed the fucking stone. I was like, this is reality.
So you got it and you were like, all right, I'm not going to get COVID. But then you saw the news where it's like, oh, bad shit. You're like, perfectly balanced.
Right. All things should be. Gamora was in my dreams and said, what did it cost you? And I said, everything. Oh, yeah, man. No, I'm feeling good. Feeling great, though. Here we are. We are good.
That's good. I got the first Pfizer, so I'm 50%. I'm halfway there.
Hey, halfway to a better life.
If I'm coming into contact with COVID, it has to like open the door because it's mostly closed. It has to kind of sneak, you know, squeeze its way in.
Yeah, I love it.
And then when it comes in, there's you know, it only gets to stay half the time.
Love it.
So episode 11, here we are, the formal first episode of what we're going to do for season 2.
Yes.
Continuing the trend we've had now for a couple weeks where we're going to bring you some of the latest and greatest gaming news to start off each week and have a little chat about what we're doing, where we're at in life, how things are going. And then after our little break in the middle, we'll come back, you know, for a specific game. And specifically this week, to celebrate our new style, our new season, our new flow, we will have our first special guest, his name will probably be in the title of the episode, but for now we'll reveal and introduce him proper when we get there. Well, one thing at a time.
Yes.
Slow it down. You can stick around if you want to stay for the good juicy content in the end. You got to listen to the Stitch Fix ad and all the other stuff that'll be spliced in 3 years from now when we have those hefty sponsors.
Yes. I love it.
So speaking of, I had an idea too. I heard on a different podcast I was listening to today when they didn't have like official sponsors yet, they basically just like plugged like streamers or other podcasts that they liked, like in that space to just like hype up other people for the time being as like unofficial sponsors, which I think was a cool idea.
Yeah, I like
that. Might be something to keep in mind to do.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. We are unofficially sponsored by Body Armor this week. All natural body armor is the sports drink for today's athletes, with natural flavors, natural sweeteners, and no colors from artificial sources. Body Armor drink sports drink combines coconut water, antioxidants, and vitamins to provide superior hydration. Body Armor, unofficially sponsored.
Damn, I said Twitch streamers, podcast. You said drink on my desk.
Yep, drink on my desk. I just looked at it and I said, yep, that's where we're going, baby. And
my side's sponsored by coffee. It's in my mug. And hey, there's nothing on it to read.
I love that brand.
Sure tastes good.
Coffee in my mug. What a great brand.
That'd be a great name for it. Coffee in my mug. That's fucking, you can't get more explanatory than that.
No, you can't.
Coffee in my mug?
I know that.
More likely than you might think.
I know that you and I have our lovely list here of news to go through, but I was looking at the list and I said, you know, there's something missing there. This whole idea of our podcast started as, right?
Yeah.
Like Apex News. And I can't believe that I completely forgot to throw in Apex News, because there's a lot of news that is circulating the Apex verse.
Sometimes you got to throw the script out.
Sometimes you have to throw the script out, but it's really going to be a short couple things that I kind of want to get your thoughts on here. I'm trying to find...
I've become the official doesn't play the game, just talks about it guy. Yes. So I'm here for it.
So, and I've become the more I've playing the game here and there, and things that I like and things that I don't like. So first thing I want to talk about is...
why my cat's being so fucking loud in the background? Me too.
Is the War Games, Shane. I'm sure you saw the trailer for the War Games. There's a couple different game modes that are coming out. The one that's out right now is the respawn one. So if you die, you get to respawn in.
Did they not change that? Is that the one that was having a problem, so they ended it and switched it to one?
God, I hope so. Because let me tell you what, I did not like that one at all.
I know whatever one it started with, they did it for like a day or two, and they said, oof.
Then that was it.
Swap it.
Because they were only doing 48 hours of it, and I'm going to tell you right now, I hated it. I hated every moment of it. So essentially what it is for our listeners, think of Warzone where you can buy people back. But in this one, you have a respawn token. If you go down, you can immediately use that respawn token or wait for your teammate to pick you up. Sometimes it's better because if you're in a firefight or your teammate's in a firefight and he's running away, just respawn yourself. You come back with all your armor, your ammo, all that stuff, everything. You drop back in with it all. It was the most frustrating thing ever because it was like Warzone. I hate that you can buy people back. I hate that. I don't mind respawning back in without gear and all that. To me, that's part of the game. You know, now you got to reloot up and all that stuff, and you get your second chance, but you're more at risk with your second chance. This one, it's like, it didn't stop people from going back into fights, which is kind of cool. You know, you hot drop. Like, I would hot drop immediately, fight people if I died. All right, cool, I can come back. It's kind of a gimmick. I didn't really enjoy it. I'm not too sure what the one is now, but I digress. We've got some changes coming to Season 9, Shane. We got some big, huge nerfs and big, huge buffs. But mainly nerfs, like huge nerfs. They're tweaking some legends here. The first legend that's getting tweaked is Lifeline. Her Doc Drone, the shield res is being removed. So the shield is no longer going to be there.
No more shield?
No more shield.
Wow.
I feel some type of way about this. Although I don't play Lifeline, I think that shield is very essential to her picking people up. My biggest thing is if we look at Rampart, she has barriers that she puts up and they can be destroyed with damage. Why not the same for the shield? Give it 150 health or give it 100 health, do some damage to it, it breaks it. I understand. I get it. I understand why they want to remove it because it's annoying. But if I ever see that shield, the first thing I'm doing is I'm pushing, especially with two teammates. Right. Like, you can just push
slide
that.
Slide behind it.
Yeah, slide behind it, kill the dude, kill the lifeline. Lifeline is the most targeted person. So, like, if I see someone has a lifeline on the team, that's the first person I'm chasing after and I'm killing because she has that res shield. Her shield doesn't do anything. It blocks bullets. Great. Congrats. Give it some, like, let it get damage dealt to it and destroyed. Whatever. So that's the first thing that's going on her, which I think they'll bring it back. It's kind of annoying that she's losing it. Faster healing from the Doc Drone. All right. Cool. I guess. There's a trade-off.
So healing is quicker.
Yeah. Healing's quicker from the drone. So, all right. I see it. And then she's getting care package improvements. Her care package is so useless to me, honestly. I think it's a dumb thing. I think she should have something like Watson, how Watson's ultimate does, it blocks, you know, incoming projectiles, but it also shield regens. I think she should have one that health regens, like regens health. Mm. Put it down. It does kind of like a spread area for health regen.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, it can also heal the enemy too. So there's a trade-off there where it's the same with Watson's shield thing, you know?
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah. So,
I don't know how you feel about it, but.
I mean, I don't know. The shield thing has been always been a, it's been a thing. It's always been a part of, you know?
Yeah.
It used to be her thing, and it was the bots thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's kind of sad that that'll be gone. Yeah. But I don't play Lifeline a whole bunch, usually. But I feel like that's going to really mix things up as far as the meta goes, because Lifeline's been a really useful character overall.
Useful and very aside strong from, character.
Yeah, aside from underwhelming ultimate. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see. The rest of it's been, yeah.
We'll see how it works. We'll see if the devs decide, you know, let's give her a shield back. Get this girl a shield. and right alongside Lifeline, apparently they just like picking on people that have, you know, camaraderie together. Octane is also getting a nerf. So they noticed that his pick rate had increased massively, as it's over 25%. But essentially what they're doing is they want to increase the damage from his stim from 12 to 20.
Yeah, I think I don't like that.
Yes. The cooldown for his stim will be reduced to 1 second. His health regen stays the same. So now you can spam his stim. So you could be the fastest boy ever, but there's a trade-off. You want to be the fastest boy, you could be a one-shot boy as well. So, I mean, that's kind of iffy to me. It's very iffy.
Yeah, I don't. That's just a lot of damage to do to yourself all at once. Yeah. I don't know.
For what reason?
Do they have a reason why it didn't work before? They don't think that it was good?
I don't think there was a reason. I think they've just looked at him, and he's very strong on King's Canyon. I think they've looked at the meta of him, Bloodhound, and Revenant, and they do the whole totem thing because, you know, Revenant's totem's not like specific to one area. It's a time thing now. So they're just looking at him with Bloodhound getting intel, Revenant being able to, you know, do that whole totem thing, and then his jump pad getting into fights and third partying or just wiping a team very quickly. I also don't know. I don't really know why they would do the whole stim thing. I mean, maybe that's part of it. Maybe he just, I don't know. It doesn't, for me, it's like, why? Why are you doing this?
Okay. Yeah, just ruining our good boys.
Ruining the good boys. Like, Caustic wasn't enough. Now you gotta ruin, you know, Octane, who I'm playing as. Like, I lost Caustic, so I said, you know what, Octane's been pretty fun. And here I am playing Octane, and, you know, you just... I'm getting fucking waxed. I'm getting waxed everywhere I go.
I'm getting dirty waxed.
Getting dirty fucking waxed.
Well, the good news is, if... all of the boys we already play as are going to get waxed. We'll always have some new ones.
Dude.
Did we talk about any of the leaked abilities for, turn the podcast off if you don't like Apex Legends data mine leaks for Valk?
Listen, here's the thing. We didn't talk anything about Valk, but we also didn't talk...
How about Pariah?
Exactly. So we talked about Blisk, right? Blisk was, you know, he's the bad guy of, you know, fucking Titanfall 2. He runs rampant, all this stuff. Dude, so recently, you know, data miners, as they do, we had some news about this woman named Valk. All right. Great. Cool. Awesome. You know, she's got a tactical, which is a cluster missile, so she can fire a rocket that explodes multiple times. Sounds like these.
Really? I have a different list of abilities here.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we talking about Valk or are we talking about
Valk,
Pariah?
Yeah.
Really? All right. I like this. This is great. This is perfect. Yeah. I'm getting my stuff from Gfinity Esports.com. Got to give credit where credit's due. So there's an ad here, and I know it's going to play, and I'm going to be super pissed. Ooh, when it does.
Yeah, I got a little Dextero in for me. Dexerto.
Oh, Dexerto? I like Dexerto because Dexerto is always like, mwah. Her passive, VTOL Jets, hold jump to initiate VTOL Jets, allowing hovering in the air. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a little like Horizon to me. You know, she got the Horizon thing. And then her ultimate is Skyward. Press once to prepare for launch. Teammates can interact with Valk to join the launch. Press again to launch into the air and skydive. Sure.
When was the article you're reading posted?
This article was posted. Fuck off, ad. This article, what's today? This article was posted today at 1:39 p.m.
So the one I have for Valk was posted in 2019. So yours is probably more relevant to current information.
Hey. Dab on them.
But the one I have for Pariah was posted. I was posted tomorrow, so I guess I can't talk about it yet.
I'm looking at it. It's on Dexerto. Welcome to the future. Future. Someone cue Raven Simone.
Legally. Theme song.
As I gaze into the future. Go ahead. Tell me about Pariah's abilities. I can see.
Yo, Pariah. Let's see. Does it say anything about like what the character thing is? Is it three powerful abilities? I don't think we have any photos or anything of Pariah yet, but there are. She's got a lot of vision based stuff. Mm-hmm. So
she's a recon. Passive, she's a recon person.
She's a recon person.
Which is thank you.
Her passive aplomb training. She can see. This is a she? I think it's a she.
Oh, yeah.
Pariah can see enemy health bars.
Which is
and
huge.
Pariah is also immune to stunning effects and the SDM steam.
Dude.
Which I think is like the ability like she does. She activates an SDM device. So she's immune to her own device and she's immune to stunning effects.
Right. Which I think stunning effects would be you get stunned if you...
Like Fuse's grenade cluster that like slows you down, I think.
Right. Fuse's grenade cluster, probably the gas. Caustic's gas.
Yeah, probably anything that kind of like stops
right?
you from moving.
Like Arc Stars maybe, because that does kind of like a stun slowdown. It's kind of weird. Go ahead, hit me with the tacky. What's the tactical?
Tactical sonar grenade. So she throws a sonar grenade revealing enemies in its area of effect and it lasts for 15 seconds.
That's
so
it's a kind
of like
time.
Bloodhounds, except instead of like a forward cone, it's a grenade you throw. To reveal an area for 15 seconds consistently around
which,
the zone.
15 seconds, dude, that's longer than Bloodhound's sonar.
It is. Yeah, you're definitely, especially later in the game when there's not much space, that's like, depending on how much of an area the effect is. I mean, that could really give you like constant information.
That changes the game up. Plus, the cooldown's going to have to be at least 50 seconds because that's crazy. If it's 20 seconds and then 15 seconds, you're, that's crazy. What's her ulti?
Sacrificial Romantic is the current name on it.
Love her already.
She activates the SDM device, releasing a flurry of steam in all directions, but becomes unable to move. But the steam causes burn damage directly to health.
Wow. So kind of like...
So damage is kind of like, that costs gas.
Yeah, Caustic's ultimate. But you can't move.
Can't move. Yeah, I think it like shrouds the area, so you probably get like obscured by it.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. It sounds neat. I like the concept of the abilities there.
Hell yeah!
It seems like Valk would be the one to come next, and Pariah following that. So Pariah might not be until, you know, whatever follows, but might not be until season 10.
Right. I would like to say I'm a very big dumb boy when it comes to looking at names for certain things. So there was a leak of LMG coming. It was going to be a light ammo LMG because that is the only LMG ammo type that we don't have yet. So, which maybe the R99 will get fucking yeeted into fucking space or back into the fucking box where it belongs.
Maybe.
Who knows? Who fucking knows? Shane.
Yeah?
You know how you and I love... We, like, at this moment in time, we love Microsoft.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting an Xbox. That's how far it's come.
We love Microsoft so much, and I think Microsoft and one other person loves Microsoft so much, or, you know, gave so much to Sony, wants to give a little bit of love back, but there's a rumor... that Hideo Kojima is in talks with Microsoft about publishing his next game. Everyone knows.
To Game Pass.
Yep. Yep. Right. Hideo Kojima made Death Stranding. I have not played it. I've wanted to play it. I heard it is a very good game.
It's a unique game. It's not for everybody, but boy, it's something special that I still want to go back and play more of. Like, there's no fucking game like it. It's so unique.
Yes. So I definitely want to give it a try. It's been on sale multiple times on PlayStation Store. I definitely want to pick it up and play it because it's just, I love those single player experience games because it just gives you so much. It gives you, they put so much work into it that it gives so much back. But, you know, he's in talks with Microsoft about publishing his next game. Phil Spencer wants Xbox to build its library of Japanese video games and continue to improve the relations with various publishers and developers in this region, which it's a big win for Xbox. I think, you know, between the possible acquisition of Discord, between Game Pass being so hyped, between this rumor right now, I think Xbox and Microsoft, they're shooting for the stars at this point. They're Dogecoining it to the moon, so to speak.
To the moon.
To the moon. So big ups to them. I'm very excited to see what more comes from that. And then obviously, I mean, we've got more Xbox news if you wanna tackle that one. I mean, we ride this dick so much. Like,
I can't hop off this dick. No, but it's great. This one seems weird to me.
It does seem weird, right?
The Game Pass might be coming to Steam. Makes sense, Nintendo Switch, and like even if it came to PlayStation consoles, which would be fucking weird.
So weird.
Like that makes sense, right? It's not you can't access things there.
Right.
I don't understand what the point of it. First, it would be on Steam though, because you can already have the Xbox as like its own thing on a PC.
Right.
It's just like you're downloading them into a different area. Like, yeah. I don't get what the point is.
I'm gonna tell you right now,
unless it adds more games, like EA Play is its own desktop EA app, but you like merges with the thing, unless that happens with Steam and you get access to additional games, which would be cool.
That'd be sweet,
but I don't know.
Listen, I know someone that is very hell bent on Steam only. They will not download Epic. They will not download any other ones because they like as dude. I download Epic because they give so many free games. I love that free game. Like, if you're gonna give me free games, I'll download your thing. Like, I'll use it. I've purchased games through Epic Games. I've played games through Epic Games. I've beaten games through Epic Games Launcher. It's great.
I don't use Epic Games.
I love it. But they're so hell bent on Steam that they don't want to use anything else. So, I mean, it would work for someone like that,
I guess. Yeah.
You know. But at the same time, it does seem kind of weird because Xbox does have their own thing on PC. So why would it be coming to that? I mean, like you said, if it is for, you know, access to other games, cool. That'd be sweet.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they go on to say in this article from comicbook.com, I want to thank one of our viewers and listeners, my buddy Jason. He gave me pretty much all the links for today, minus the Apex Legends stuff. So pretty much all the news was provided by him. So thank you, sir, for providing these links. I'll give you that shout out. Appreciate you, Jason.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
They say in here that if Microsoft were to bring Xbox Game Pass to Steam, Valve would presumably get some type of cut. And if that's going to happen, Microsoft is going to ask for something in return, like Steam on Xbox, or maybe a new Left 4 Dead game. Ooh.
Doubt it. Yeah, but that developer is already making Back 4 Blood.
Back 4 Blood, baby. Yeah, they're making Back 4 Blood. So why the fuck would they do that? Why? Why would they do it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if it ever comes to the Switch, there might be a new console to play it on.
There might be a new console. Thank you for that lovely segue, sir. Back on comicbook.com, Nintendo Switch Pro possibly discovered in the new Switch update. Ooh, this week Nintendo released the 12.00 update for Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch Lite. The patch notes of this update don't reveal much, but it looks like the update is more than just what the patch notes reveal. People dove into the files of the update. Data miners discovered that there were references to the Nintendo Switch Pro, a long-rumored new model said to be more powerful at the cost of being more expensive. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. If it is going to be more expensive and it is going to utilize everything that it needs to utilize for what it's being made for, I'm okay with paying for that. I like more powerful consoles. I think the Nintendo Switch, as it is right now for what I use it, for Pokemon and all that stuff, it's great. Pokemon, Animal Crossing, it's great. I think it's
yeah, purpose. And I mean, this suggests that if there is a pro model, that it would be, according to some of the data mine stuff, that it would be 4K capable. Mm-hmm. Playing Animal Crossing, a little 4K, not just HDR that. Light on my island. All right.
Not just that, but just kind of tipping back, like dovetailing back into our last article. If Xbox Game Pass does come to the Switch, wouldn't you want to play those dope ass games? Like, imagine playing Doom Eternal on a fucking Switch Pro, 4K. Running absolutely crazy. The thing's burning hot in your hands because you're just throwing down in hell. You know what I'm saying?
Like, do you think the handheld portion of it would be 4K? Like, they're going to squeeze a little teeny tiny 4K screen on there?
No way. I think it'd be
4K. Many pixels that everything would be so tiny.
Right. Like, I think once you dock it, it'll switch over to 4K, which honestly, it
you dock it, it just like fucking grabs you with a dick. It's like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, let's fucking 4K. It's pretty cool. I'm here for it. I am here for it. Just give it to me, please.
I'll be there for it.
Please.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. Shane, please real hit quick, me.
Should I order an Xbox?
I don't want you to be this boy. I really don't want you to be this boy.
I can order a Series S right now.
Can you?
I don't need the X because fuck it. I have 4K. I have a computer.
I mean, if you're gonna use it for what?
It's $10 a month, and I get to play out Game Pass on my TV.
Oh, you're talking like payment plan wise with it.
Yes.
That's pretty
good. I already pay for Ultimate. I already pay $15 a month, and it includes that. So it's
you're saving
$24.99. It's $24.99 a month for the whole thing plus 24 months of that. I get it for an extra $10, and then I get Xbox.
That's worth it.
And then
it.
I can play all these fucking games on my TV.
That's worth it.
It seems worth it to me. And I was like, I don't know if I, you know, do I have time to play all that stuff anyway? But like,
that's true. You got to think about that.
I have all those fucking PS4 games I bought. I haven't played. I haven't beaten God of War. I haven't beaten all these other games that I should play first. That's cool. Dude. So that's why I haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah. I would just wait. See how it works out. You know, when you get some free time, you know, do a couple missions here and there, a couple levels. You know what I'm saying? The other thing is you have kids. So you don't, do you really want to be playing those violent games in front of your kids?
Well, I wouldn't play it in front of them, which is a problem. I can only play it at night. But honestly, what more likely would happen is I get it. And now they're like, oh, sick. We have a new Xbox.
Exactly.
They have a new Xbox.
Right. Exactly. That's true.
I'm sure that's what would happen.
Oh, of course. Shane, hit me with our next. Oh, I love this. Just hit me with our next one.
I'm gonna bottle this one up, and then I'm gonna shoot it over to you because you'd be the expert on this topic here.
I would love to.
Fuck if I even know how to say the name right. Is this Ludwig?
Ludwig Agren.
Ludwig. Ludwig. Say it again.
Ludwig.
Ludwig
His a lot of people call him Ludwig because that's how they see it. But his mom, who is of French descent, says Ludwig.
Yes, Ludwig. Okay. Ludwig. So that guy was streaming on Twitch for the better part of 31 days.
Yes.
Now, you dabble in the streaming on Twitch.
Yes.
When's the last time you streamed for 31 days?
Dude, the last time I streamed for 24 hours was like two years ago, November. And I barely like... This was at the point where, like, Peter and John would stay up for the full 24 hours and do it. And then the time that we did it, we kind of worked in shifts where we just, like, slept for an hour or two and whatnot. 31 days. Now, mind you, I'm going to take the reins here. I have only been following Ludwig's career for the better part of a month and a half. I kind of stumbled onto his YouTube videos and kind of just quickly fell in love with his content that he put on YouTube. I think he's hilarious. I think he brings a unique flair to his stream. He's not afraid to make fun of himself. He's very like, I don't know. He's more like a comedian than like a gamer streamer. Like, he's really good at games and really good at what he does, but like, he's so good at entertaining people. And I
And that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. That's what you are on Twitch. You're an entertainer. And if you can play games and entertain your, you know, your audience, I mean, what more do you have for you?
Right.
So when I heard that he was doing a subathon, I was like, that's pretty cool. And the way he was doing it was anytime people donated money, or not donated money, donated subs, his timer would go up. At first it was 10 seconds, I believe. Or at first it was 20 seconds, and then he lowered it to 10 seconds. I could be mixing that up a little bit. But he streamed for 24/7 for 31 days straight. He did take a break himself where he was gone off stream for a couple days, but he had one of the guys that lives in his house on stream keep it going. This man was so dedicated that he had a race car bed in front of his camera, and when he was sleeping, his moderators would be taking control of the stream, either showing videos, they'd be playing games on stream, whatever. His mods from all over the world were checking in and making sure everything was good. In the end, he surpassed Ninja's all-time sub record. I will give credit to Ninja. Ninja did have 269,000 subs. I believe it was in one day where he played Fortnite with Drake. Obviously, big name in the, you know, hip-hop and R&B scene, Drake. He is quite the artist, quite the entrepreneur, all that stuff. So for Ninja to amass
that much. But Ludwig did it without Drake.
Ludwig did it without Drake. He did it with the power of his own audience, his own subscribers and all that, and the love of the community. And he did it in 31 days to become the big daddy of Twitch. He's currently sitting at 280,532 current active subscriptions, subs. That's how many he has. Absolutely bonkers. He was giving half of the money that he earned to charity. He was also paying his subs $5,000 for every day that they helped out with it.
The moderators?
Yep, his mods. Yep, he was giving them $5,000 a day for it. The last day that he did his stream, for every sub he got, he was going to donate $5 to charity for the last day. So every sub that he amassed that day, $5 for each of that. So every sub that he got throughout the 31 days, I believe it was a dollar he was matching for every sub that he got to charity. He said in one of his YouTube videos that he just wanted the exposure. He didn't care. Like, he said, I'd be happy with walking away with 3K or 4K from this. He didn't really care. The exposure is what he wanted. And let me tell you what, Ludwig, you got the fucking exposure, man. Forbes was writing articles about him. Everyone was writing articles about him. Crazy. Absolutely nuts.
Well, couldn't be me.
Couldn't be me, man. Like, like I said, it was absolutely amazing. The fact that it ended is crazy. He's pretty sure that if he would not have, because he's the one that put the cap on. Like he said, I'm only going a month if this continues, because he thought it would only go for a couple days. This man went a whole 31 days.
But, yeah, best laid plans don't survive the internet.
No. And he was like, it is what it is. He ended up destroying his bed, the race car bed that he had at the end of the stream. I'll read this. This is from Polygon. His final goodbye after destroying the bed didn't feature a surprise celebrity cameo or anything of that nature. Just a heartfelt message from the creator. In the last 3 minutes of the stream, he teared up while addressing his viewers. Don't get it fucked up, said Agaren. I'm not your friend. No parasocial relationships. I can't know any of you. 200,000 people on my stream right now, but somehow you guys as a collective made me really happy. Crazy, right? The power of the internet once again coming through for someone that, mind you, he's from New Hampshire, which is pretty fucking dope. He lives out in LA, but he's from New Hampshire. So that's a big win from us over on the East Coast. I'll take it. Live free or die, as the slogan says in New Hampshire.
He did.
He lived free, and he most certainly probably died a few times. But no, good for him. It's pretty sweet, you know, for wanting the exposure and giving most of the money to charity and paying off your mods. There was an article out there about one of his mods paid off his credit card debt. He was like super deep in credit card debt. and was thankful to have the opportunity to do that and paid off his debt due to that. So, you know, yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, not just affecting lives of charity, but affecting other lives too. You know, big ups to Ludwig or Ludwig, however you guys would like to pronounce it. Good job, man. I'm a big fan, and I've pretty much talked about your stream probably the whole month. I've checked in on your sub count and everything, and I've watched your stream multiple times just to, you know, just to keep it up and, you know.
Yeah, so now that you're done with small business, now that stream's done, you're like, what next? Right. Well, next week, we need another guest, so just hop on the Good Game Guys podcast. Yeah. We'll get you that real exposure.
Yeah, if you,
we're pretty big.
If you want the real exposure, Ludwig, whoever wants to show this to Ludwig, you know, the big shout out. You know,
if you're saying, ready for it, bud, you yeah. know.
If you're ready for this much exposure.
We got about 20 audience members, according to Anchor. So you're going to need to brace for some popularity.
Facts. You might, your inbox might be flooded. I'm just saying.
DMs like crazy. But hey, we'll, honestly, $30. That's the premium. You can hop right on this podcast. Yeah. No worries.
Yeah. We'll keep a spot open for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We're going to have a segment in every single doc going forward. That just says, you know, Ludwig segment.
Ludwig.
And we'll keep it there. We'll keep it there until episode 600.
Right.
Until you finally grace us, until you join us for a chat.
Until you join us for a chat. And, you know, you don't have to be here long. You could be here for 5 minutes. You could entertain us for five minutes.
You stream for 31 days. Your perception of time has got to be fucked up.
Facts. Five minutes. So
5 minutes with us, that's going to be like a second.
That's nothing for you.
No time.
Right. Exactly. And then, you know. If you want to play some games together, I'm down. You know,
you want to play game? You want to play Scrabble?
Play some.
You want to play some Catan? You got a tabletop simulator?
He was very big into the chess at one point when chess was like getting big on Twitch, and you know he got some teachings from Haraku, I believe is his name, who is a grandmaster of chess. I just bought a chess set because I watched the first episode of Queen's Gambit. And let me tell you what, woo! That first episode was fire. That shit was dope. I'm a little late to the party on Queen's Gambit, man. But that
you're a little late to the party on chess, too. I think it's been like a couple thousand years. Listen,
I've loved chess for a long time. My grandfather taught me how to play chess, so I've always had it there. But Queen's Gambit brought it out in everyone. You know what I'm saying? But no, yeah, Ludwig, let us know, man. DMs are always open. We're here.
We're always here. Or, you know.
Matter of fact, I'm going to take the Good Game Guys podcast Twitter. I'm going to follow you on Twitter. And you just take that. What you will. I'm going to do this live right now on the record. Oh, fuck. How do I? Jesus. I'm a fucking rookie at Twitter. Here we go.
You'll get it.
Here we go. Ludwig Ågren. Follow. Boom. You're welcome.
There it is. We're supporting you. You know, that's what we're here
for.
You're
fucking welcome.
Let's set up a little quick ad break in here. But then when we come back, we're going to have some more Twitch related content in the form of our first guest on the Good Game Guys podcast.
Woo!
A good friend of ours and a Twitch streamer.
Hell yeah.
We'll see y'all back here in a minute and we'll kick that off.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. This week, we have our first ever special guest, and we are fucking stoked. You may know him from the past with he's worked with Devon before on their channel, Black and White Gaming, and he has his personal Twitch channel, Horrible Pete, where he streams primarily horror games Friday through Monday every week. Pete, welcome to our show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be on the Good Game Guys.
Ooh, baby, we got
the first guest, the historical moment. You know, in the first half too, we referred to it as episode 11, which is technically not false, but it's actually season 2, episode 1.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. That's true. So, first episode, and I'm your first special guest.
Ah, dude, you're hitting all cylinders.
This is the new format. I'm blushing right now.
The lighting here kind of sucks, but you should look at my cheeks. Like, oh, they're
I can
red.
See them. They're rosy.
Those are rosy.
They're rosy. No, but for real, thank you for joining us on the episode. We appreciate having you here. If you want, you know, you can just kind of delve into your journey on Twitch and everything that you've come up to this point, and like just everything that encompasses Horrible Pete and all that. Because I knew you as a different name. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So,
yes. So shed some light on that.
My Twitch journey started long ago when the PlayStation 4 first came out, and I had this name for the longest time, because I thought, you know, I could definitely become an internet personality with this. And it was Super Game Geek. Terrible name, awful name, but I had it for years.
Great name, love that name.
So I had that for years, and then streaming kind of fell to the wayside, and it wasn't really going anywhere, so I pretty much stopped streaming for the better half of a year. Which was 2020. Funny enough, during COVID, I didn't really stream. Like during the height of COVID,
time to be home.
Didn't
do it.
I know the time we were all locked in.
Right.
But as the year went on, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to do it. And then I said, nah. Then October came, and I started doing like a horror marathon. I was just watching horror movies, playing horror video games, and I kept thinking, you know what, Pete? If you're gonna play horror video games, why don't you just stream them? Just do it. So let's come up with a name. And I thought I had the right name. I thought I had the perfect name. It was Hundo Pete, off of the slang term, like Hundo P, right? Yep. Genius. Taken.
Oh. No.
So Hundo Pete out there.
God damn it.
I'm not your fan, but good on you for coming
yeah,
up with a great name.
That person indirectly paved the way for Horrible Pete.
For Horrible Pete, that's right. I came up with the name because, one, I'm just a horrible person, and two, I like horror games. I was like, all right.
I think it's great.
This is it. This is the one.
Yeah. It's definitely a dope name, and it encompasses pretty much what you do on your stream, you know?
Exactly. I was like, I'm going to focus mainly on horror games, and that's what I've done. I started with Resident Evil 7. That was the first horror game I streamed under Horrible Pete, and it's been so many horror games that I can't even keep track of since then. But play them straight through, play Dead by Daylight here and there, and just basically anything that's even remotely like horror related, I played. I played a keyboard typing horror game. Not Typing of the Dead, if that's what you're thinking. It's not that one. But it was, you play this exorcist, and you literally have to like run around and dodge bullets being shot at you by demons while you try to exorcise them, and you have to like type the words out that you're exorcising them with. Jeez. Dude, it was wild. Insane game.
Yeah, way better person.
Damn,
than I am.
That's like the hardcore mode of Mario teaches typing.
I know.
But yeah, you've amassed quite a following on Twitch, and it's pretty crazy to see me being not just your, you know, internet friend, but your IRL friend, just the group of people that you've brought into your whole community, me being one of them, and just the culmination of everything that's going on. It's so cool to see, and everything, and having your own Discord and all that stuff. It's really cool to see all that, and even roping me in some of the games that we play, horror games. I absolutely fucking hate horror games, but anytime you ask to play them, I'm like, sure, dude, might as well. I mean, it'll get a good... I have the best scream in the biz, and I don't play horror games.
That's a fact.
That's just it. I just don't play them. But no, yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool seeing where you started and where you're at now, and it's wild. It's dope. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Super, super blessed to be where I am, and you know, hopefully it continues to grow. But just super thankful for the people who come in and tune in and watch us play these ridiculous horror games and watch me scream at the top of my lungs, and you know, they have the option to scare me as well. I give them the sound alert so they can try to jump scare me throughout the game. But I will say my scream pales in comparison to Devon's. And actually the first game that Devon joined me in was Dead Space 3.
Yes, it was Dead Space 3, which is funny because our one of Peter's favorite games is Dead Space 2, and that's what we're going to be talking about. But yes, we played Dead Space 3. I joined you on your marathon of Dead Space games, and we played 3, and we beat 3. And man, what a ride that was.
That was awesome. Great. I loved it. I loved every second.
I absolutely loved it. But yes, Dead Space 2, tell us why it's one of your favorite games, and why we're here talking about it, really. I mean, well,
that's what I got to know, right? Because I've played the first game, which is a great game. I played it back when it first came out and never finished it. And then I played it again sometime afterwards. And it's great. Chef's love kiss. The first game. From like some research that I've done into it, it seems to be like with most of these series, trilogies, whatever, the general public perceives the first one as the game. And then the second one they perceive as good, but like it moves in a direction. So it seems to be that like the first game is like the game for people when it comes to those. So my question is, as someone who hasn't played the second game yet, why the second game?
So I can't talk about my love for the second game without talking about the first game. Like the first game was incredible. It is incredible. It's still there. It has that alien vibe to it. You arrive on a ship. There's these monsters coming after you, you know. You have to deal with gravity and everything like that. The atmosphere was crazy, you know, going into zero G. Everything about that game just was terrifying. And what helped it was the AI, because the AI could basically jump into a vent and try to ambush you from another vent, which was really cool because you didn't really see things like that in video games when Dead Space first came out. Now, the reason why I love Dead Space 2 more is because I feel that Dead Space 2 managed to take everything that made Dead Space 1 amazing and expand upon it. They basically took the crowded, claustrophobic halls of the Ishimura in the first game, and they put that into the second game while also giving you wider areas. So basically, every environment that you come across in that game just feels unique and changes dramatically and changes the way you combat the necromorphs.
Yeah, dude. That game was like from the opening scene of Dead Space 2 when you wake up back on the Ishimura. Isaac Clarke waking up, dude. He's locked in, straitjacketed up, and he wakes up and necromorph outbreak is going and you're running from these motherfuckers. It's like a bad dream, but guess what? It ain't no
not
dream.
Again.
No, exactly, dude. I was terrified because I was like, no, not again, dude. What? But
what
oh,
a fucking
man.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
He lives.
And like my favorite, I would have to say my favorite part. I don't know about anyone else. I don't know about you, Pete, but my favorite part of Dead Space 2 is eye surgery.
Oh man,
it's my favorite part, man. Because it's so just. Ooh,
we're jumping right into the cringe. I like it. All right, so
I'm going.
What he's talking about is Isaac. He's suffering from the effects of the what are they called? It's the the markers.
Yes.
So
there you go.
Ooh. Isaac is suffering from the effects of the markers from the first game. And basically, it turns him insane because you start seeing visions. The marker wants you to basically follow it. It wants you to like convert, die, and follow that. It's madness. So he's combating that the entire game. But the way the marker is coming at him in the second game is through the shape of his dead girlfriend. And if you remember in the first game, she's there, the dead girlfriend is there, and you find out at the end of the game that, you know, she was never real. It's always been the marker messing with him. Mm-hmm. But she's back in the second game. And almost plays like kind of like a Joker in Batman Arkham Knight.
Wow, another chef kiss game, dude.
Yep. Mm. Now the eye surgery is because the eye surgery is because he wants to get rid of the markers,
He wants to remove the marker's callings from his brain. Yeah. But the only way to do that is like he has to like do the surgery, and there's a needle that has to go into his eye and it has to go pretty far in. Yeah. Now, the game makes you control the needle as it comes down. And as it comes down, you see Isaac in the chair just spazzing out, his eye just like twitching. And the thing is, you got to make sure that you center it perfectly, because if you mess up, Isaac dies. Like, the whole thing just impales him.
And then you have to start over. It's a crazy, dude.
Right in the middle of the game, surgery simulator.
Oh, that was no. That's toward the end of the game. Yeah. That's toward the end of the game.
Yeah, but it's just crazy because it's not like something you've ever seen, right? It's you're controlling that needle, but like seeing Isaac's eye dart back and forth, and you can see that he's nervous and anxiety, and you're like, dude, what am I doing right now? And then that first time you just go straight, gah! And it just red screens, and you're like, oh, no! you did not nail it, bud.
You did nail it.
Yeah, you did nail it a little too hard.
not in the way you intended.
Center a little too hard, bud.
Ooh, center a little too hard there, bud.
So that part was great. And Devon was talking about the opening before. And the opening, Dead Space games, well, I should say Dead Space 1 and 2, both had great openings. But Dead Space 2 truly started off with a bang. Now, the way the necromorphs come into being is that I don't know what the enemies call, but they're like these flying, like flappy wing looking necromorphs. And what they do is they grab human bodies and they shove like their needle stem tongue thing into their foreheads, and it literally just converts the dead body or the human body into a necromorph.
Mm-hmm. Is now, that an infector?
Yes, that's such a complicated name. I can't believe I didn't know.
I mean, I just looked it up.
I feel bad for not knowing it now. Oh, terrible fan. But in the beginning of the game, Isaac's tied up because he's deemed crazy, but also the government knows what he saw, so they don't want him getting out. Now, as he waits there, this guy who's been sent there to save Isaac, he breaks in, he finds Isaac, and he's like, we got to get out of here, we got to go, let's go. And the camera is literally right on top of Isaac's shoulder. So you just see this guy like super close up, and you're like, whoa, you're in my bubble. Well, as he's looking around and he's talking to you and whatnot, you can hear things are happening out there. The infector comes up behind him and just jams him right in the forehead. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, shit. And then he starts to change. He starts to, like, do the seizure thing where he's just like, and then, like, he grows the claws and everything, and he's trying to, like, bite at Isaac, and Isaac is just in a straitjacket holding
back.
Can't
do shit, dude.
Oh, God.
It's terrifying.
You finally get out, and then you're just on the run, and there's just necromorphs swarming in, and all you can do is book it.
Yep. You're defenseless.
I did. I watched, you know, because I wanted to at least have some knowledge of it. So I watched like some clips about, you know, like a review of people who played it and some of the stuff. So I've seen some of that, like in the beginning where you don't have a weapon or anything. You just got to fucking just go, and they're all fucking breaking through the doors and shit all around you. That's scary.
If you're looking for a relaxing night, that's not the game to start with, because that literally just throws your anxiety through the roof.
my buddy and I, we played the first game together in a not so lit room, and it was terrifying. We beat the game in one night. We just stayed up and just beat it, played it, and then when Dead Space 2 came out, we were like, yeah, let's do it, dude, let's do it. And we played it and beat it, and then I picked up Dead Space 3 by myself way back when, you know, PS3 was around, and I played it by myself. And then first time ever, well, no, I played co-op before but never really beat it, and then beating it with you, you know.
But you got to play a game like that in the dark, right? Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
And that's part of the thing. Like, I could have maybe gotten a little bit of playing in the afternoon when I played it, but like, it wouldn't have been, you know.
No, the atmosphere.
I'll say, Dead Space 1 and 2, when they first came out, I couldn't play either of them for long periods of time. I would play like a chapter and be like, "All right, Pete, that was good. You did it. Way to go.
Fun game.
Time to go do something else. Too scared to continue.
Time to play Mario Party. All right. Because, dude, you can't play that game for... I mean, I don't know how... I mean, we were kids when we played it straight, and we were just like, dude, we just got to get it done. And it was a time, dude. It was a time and a half. But I do.
Yeah, you got to boot up about at least 15, 20 minutes of Cooking Mama afterwards just to cleanse the palate.
That's the thing, right? You know? You just got to get a little Nintendogs into the mix. And
you're set to go. My pupper for a little bit.
Of course.
I do have to say.
These infectors are gross. I'm looking at a picture of one.
Oh, dude. All the enemies are so disgusting. So disgusting. I do got to say, because I also want to get kind of your opinions on this. Now, another reason I love Dead Space 2 and why I think it's superior to Dead Space 1 in the best way possible. Not that Dead Space 1 is bad or anything like that. But in Dead Space 1, Isaac is silent. He's a silent protagonist.
Yep.
Now, I'm a big character and story guy. So to me, silent protagonists
suck.
All of them, with the exception of one, being Link, because I will accept it.
Ooh. I'll throw in a second.
Who?
Gordon Freeman.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm like
Peter, this is not the time to have a this is not the time to have a hot take. I'm telling you right now.
I'm the hot take. I'm sticking with Link. I'm sticking with just Link.
Yeah, but is he fully silent? He does go.
Well, yeah, exactly. And also, like, a lot of times characters will ask him questions. They'll be like, "What? Where did this come from?" And then the next thing the person says, "What? It came from there." So you know that Link said something.
Yeah. Right? It's like they cut the frames out of the game where he's like, "Oh, dude, it's right over there."
But all of them, with the exception.
Or he speaks telepathically.
Exactly. I like that. But all silent protagonists, with the exception of Link, suck. And I'm sorry, Gordon Freeman. I'm sorry, Gordon Freeman. Listen, Gordon Freeman, just talk. Alex wants to talk to you. Alex needs to know what you're thinking before you do it.
There
okay?
is no reason that he shouldn't talk. Doesn't make sense.
Nope. Doesn't make sense. I hate silent protagonists. Never been a fan. I always feel it ruins the story or the flow of the game. Especially when characters say something to you and they just look super stupid as they stand there because you're not going to say anything back.
How do you feel about like older RPGs where like you had a choice, like a response, but it wasn't like audio voiced, but you still like your character like had a voice but it has never vocalized? What do you think about that?
Even then, I prefer the Mass Effect route.
Mm.
Where it's like you have a voice, like you are a character in you are a person in this universe, and then they give you the choices on top of that. Right. So it's like games. Stop with the silent protagonist. There's literally, guess what? I am Peter. I'm horrible Pete. Some people call me Peter. I'm a 31-year-old dude. I am not a space marine. I am not a swordsman. I am not somebody living in the Elder Scrolls universe. I am none of these things. I will never envision myself being any of these things. So your excuse that, it's too immersive, go screw yourself, all right? Go screw yourself.
You can swear on our podcast.
All right, go fuck yourself, all right?
Podcast is canceled. Oh, my God.
I hate that. That's the dumbest excuse I have ever heard in my entire life. And so you can feel like the character. Guess what? I play games, so I'm not me.
Right.
I don't want to be Pete while I'm playing a game. I want to be whatever the badass character is in the game. Exactly.
I disagree. I was playing Skyrim. As soon as the character yelled out "Fusrod," I turned it off. I said, "I'm disconnected. I lost all my immersiveness in this world. I felt like I was there. I was fighting dragons until my character yelled. It wasn't my voice. It was way deeper. I just lost all interest at that point."
Everyone has a voice, you know.
It's funny that you mentioned that naturally, because that was actually, I wrote down a few things that I was going to bring up as questions, and that was one of them. Actually, how you like what your opinion on him having a voice in this game, like what your thoughts on it were.
He was a character, and not only was he a character, you can tell that he was an evolved character, because in the first game it was always Isaac, we need you to go do this. Isaac, we need you to fix this thing. Isaac, we can't get out of here without you going through the hell that's over in this section of the ship. Isaac, you got to go risk your life for this. And I'm like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
Right. Yeah, you know, he got a voice, so he could just be like, hey, shut the fuck up.
Pretty much.
You know it.
In the second game, even though you still have to go do the errand bullshit, Isaac voices the bullshit.
Right.
He'll go, yeah, and you're are like, you serious? Yes, I got to go do this?
We're on the
you
same page. Right. Exactly. Did you like his voice, like the voice actor?
I thought the voice actor nailed it.
Yeah.
You know?
He really did.
Isaac is an engineer. He's not a super soldier. He's nothing special. He's not a military trained expert.
He's your average Joe, dude.
Yep.
Dude just showed up for work one day.
And now he has to sit there as he holds his engineering tools and go, what the fuck is this?
So it wouldn't have been as good if, like, he popped out as, like, John DiMaggio.
Yeah, no. You gotta have... Although, I probably would have enjoyed hearing a couple takes of that.
So that's the gruffest voice. Let's kill some necromorphs.
But yeah, fuck, I mean, guys. His character, it made me feel for him more. It made me feel a better connection with him because I was like, all right, like, you're real and you're kind of like reacting to this in a way that I would. And I can connect better with that than you just standing there in a spacesuit going.
Yeah. The only way it could be more like what I would do if the game starts and he just jumps out the airlock. It's like, this is better than whatever could happen for the rest of this fucking place.
Oh, trust
I'm
me.
I'm just going to take the easy route.
You want immersive? Kill me in the first 5 minutes of that game because I'm not for making it out of the first game. Room.
Exactly. Well, that's me playing Resident Evil 7, driving up. Actually, nope. Changed my mind. Bye. I'm just going to go home and find a new girlfriend. I'm all set.
How long has she been gone? Oh, yeah, definitely not worth it now.
She's definitely dead. What am I doing?
3 years? Yeah, over it.
That's probably the most unrealistic thing about that game. Like, for the whole part of the game, it's just the fact that that happens. That's how the game starts. Fuck that.
3 years later, and he's like, I'm going to go look for you. Like, listen, I'm already remarried at that point.
Right.
Facts. I already adopted 6 kids. I got a new house.
I've remarried twice.
Honestly, just never. Don't even say her name to me ever again.
I would have got that video. Be like, who is it? Delete. Freaking spam.
Junk mail.
We got a video for you. It's from. Yeah, no idea. Honestly, just
telemarketer.
Telemarketer. Yeah. Shane brought up a good point about asking you. You know, like if Dead Space 2 was, people think that it's a great game, but is it as good as the first game? My question to you is, Dead Space 2 versus Mass Effect 2, which one is the better sequel out of EA? That's a hot take. That's a hot take.
I mean, they're totally different games, right?
They are.
I mean, they're both sci-fi, but...
Yeah. I mean, but let's be real.
Wow. Oh, man, dude. That's...
But let's be real.
I mean, I'm horrible Pete. I'm going to say Dead Space 2. Pete.
Yeah, we know.
So guess what? If you don't agree with me, you can say, Pete, you're fucking horrible. That's what you can tell me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, I think both great games. They both do their own thing. Dead Space, horror aspect.
Mass Effect 2.
They're both good games, guys.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Yeah. 100%. Okay, Shane.
I like that.
I see you. Both good games.
If I can't sneak the name of the podcast into a sentence one time each episode, what the fuck am I doing here?
Right, what are you here for? Right, exactly. No, but yeah.
I will tell you.
Tell me.
A couple other things, right, that made this game amazing.
Yes, I love it.
All right. One of them are the action sequences. Mm. And I don't mean the combat or anything like that, even though the combat, like the tighter controls, the new weapons, how everything feels, it was all amazing. But the action sequences that they threw in there, they were sort of in the first game, like when you get grabbed by that giant tentacle thing and you have to shoot it and all that. Well, that was cool, but Dead Space 2 takes it up 10 notches. And one of the first action sequences, or one of like the ones that just will rock your socks off, it's when you're working with this girl trying to get to a safe place, and when you finally get to her, she's a traitor. She's been tricking you this whole entire time. She just wanted to take you captive.
Classic.
Yep. Oh, yes, they always do it. But
fucking bitches.
But as she's like, take Isaac away, this gunship pulls up to the window because you're on a platform. Now, this whole game, by the way, takes place on a space station called the Sprawl. And it's like a huge area, like basically a city on this planet. On Saturn's moon called Titan. That's what it is. And the gunship unloads and bitch gets blasted. Like Danny DeVito style.
Yes.
Like. So I started blasting and then bitch went down. The guys to the left and the right of you that are holding you, they get torn apart. Isaac starts flying toward the open window because obviously the gunship's outside. So now he's about to fly into space. He ends up grabbing on, and as he's holding on, hoping that he can like not fly into space, this giant necromorph, like basically Mr. X on, you know, steroids plus crystal meth, and just charges at him. He gets knocked into space. He's on the ship now, on the gunship, as the giant monster comes at him. They're both on the ship. It's spinning. You're just the camera's following close on Isaac, so you're like, holy shit. Finally, Isaac manages to blow up the ship, get away, and he falls into this... he falls back into the space station and he crashes in there and like hits it like Nathan Drake style. Like, you're like, dude, man, this guy's just getting hurt. And as that happens, the monster is back. And it's just in his face. And all of a sudden, like, starts going after him. And like, the space station, like, starts that area of the space station starts to like collapse. And like, pipes and floor panels are just crashing down, and he's just trying to dodge and get out of there. And literally, while I was watching that scene for the first time, it was like, oh man, got betrayed. That sucks. Oh shit. Like, this gunship's shooting at you. That sucks, man. Isaac, you got some bad luck. Oh, you're out in space hanging on to the gunship for your dear life. That's, dude, the end of the giant monster's coming after you. And then when you landed back in the station, you're like, finally, this man gets some rest. And the fucking monster lands back in. I was like, this dude can't catch a fucking break right
at all. And if you didn't think that he could catch a break, came out with a third fucking game, this poor guy. All Isaac wants to do is just sleep, man. That's it. That is it.
No chance.
No chance whatsoever. But no, yeah, man. Dead Space 2 is a great game. You've played a lot of horror games. A few that I've seen you play, Alien Isolation, which you didn't really enjoy too much.
Oh, God. It was the most frustrating good game I've ever played.
I'm trying to think, because I know that was like a big one that you played. I'm trying to think of a couple other ones that you played as well. There's so many, like you said before.
Outlast 2 was another one. Outlast 2. I got to say just one more thing about Dead Space 2.
Dive in.
The return to the Ishimura. Is another reason. Yeah, and I remember the first time I played that.
Why the fuck would you go back?
Mm-mm. Well, so there's a reason why. And obviously it involves needing something to progress further in the story. And he's like, well, I know what we can do. We can go. He's like, I can go back into the ship. And the moment he said that, it was like,
ain't no MacGuffin getting me back in that.
I don't want to fucking go back in there. And the game just handled that section so perfectly. Like, he had PTSD as he was in there, and he like got flashbacks from like things that happened in the first game. And you're just like, man, what a section, like, to bring you back to the original nightmare. It's just the things they did in that game, the creativity they used, the way they incorporated the scares, the combat. Phenomenal game.
Where it all began. So, Peter, you've played games like A Plague Tale, which isn't really like, it's like, I would say it's kind of horror, you know. I mean, they went through
the rat, yeah, they, you know, it's got the horrible rats. Time. Yeah.
Silent Hill 4.
Yes.
You've good played game. The Lucius games, right? Lucius?
Is that well, I play, so, funny thing with the Lucius games, I beat the first one, which is, it's not a bad game, but it's not a good game.
Yeah.
But it's super fun.
Yeah.
You know, you just come up with, you have to kill someone every chapter, and you just come up with the most ridiculous way to kill them. The second game.
That sounds pretty fun.
The second game, I got to chapter 2 on my stream, and I said, guys, I'm not going to keep playing this. This is bad. I was like, this is very bad.
Oh, my God. You played Moons of Madness.
Oh, great H.P. Lovecraft game. If you are a fan of Lovecraftian horror, that is definitely one to play. Also, great jump scares in there. Which, can I ask you guys something? As a horror fan, what do you guys think of jump scares?
They serve their purpose, right?
Like, I have a lot of memorable ones.
Yes.
I prefer psychological horror, like the overall atmosphere and, you know, tension that comes with it versus just one super scary moment. But, I mean, I have... Yeah, I have some, like, I remember playing the original, like, Fear on the PC.
Alma?
Dude. Well, first of all, that's another series where, like, I feel it falls in the same category. Like, first game, fucking, mwah. Second game, losing its luster. It's okay. I did enjoy it, especially the story to it. Third game, fucking wild. Also co-op. Like, it followed the same trajectory as Dead Space. But no, I remember playing the first game, and I was playing it again, like, kind of like the same story like Devon had for Dead Space, playing it with a friend, and we just had to like make fucking bullshit jokes about something going on. Like, we had a joke to, like, every time we saw like a fire extinguisher, it was like, oh, almost shapeshifting, gotta break the glass, ha ha ha, like, just like distract from how fucking terrifying the game was.
Yeah, of course.
And you said about jump scare, I remember the one time in that game specifically, this is like 10 years ago, I think, when I first played it, just climbing up a ladder after one spot, and it had been a long time, like nothing had happened. You probably remember the exact moment. You're in like this dark, like, silo room, climbing up a ladder. I'm like, this is fine. And as soon as you pull up to the top, she's just fucking right there. I'm like, nope. I'll say it was fucking, I'll shit myself.
Listen, I'm a big.
I did the same thing. I climbed right back down. I was like, I'm gonna wait.
It was
a
the worst.
Bit,
like, you know? That stuck in my brain. It was so memorable.
I'm definitely a big fan of jump scares. Not really, but they serve their purpose. Now, the jump scares for me can happen pretty much in any game. Peter will tell you. I was streaming Batman Arkham Knight one time. Have you beaten that game?
It's a classic horror title. I have.
Yes. Okay. For those of you who haven't beaten it, you know, it's a little tiny little spoiler. Batman just got out of something, right? And you're like running around and you're gliding through. The second you grapple up to a building, I don't know if it matters what building you grapple up to, but you
grapple. I think it's random.
It is random. Yeah, it's random. You grapple up to the building, you fly up, as you leap to the edge to grab over. Man Bat comes over and just snarls in your face. Dude, I lost my mind.
And he lost his headset.
My headset went flying. I was like, ah! Dude, I screamed so loud. Peter was in my chat. Peter was dying, dude. It was absolutely terrifying. I was like, dude, are you kidding me? So it's games like that, dude. It doesn't even matter what I'm playing. I just get scared. We played...
I wish I knew what clipping was on Twitch at the time. Because that was like fresh to Twitch back then. But
I don't even think I could have enabled VODs for that.
My goodness.
I bet you if I played through the game again, it would happen again. I wouldn't expect it.
Here's the thing. With that scare, the best part about that is, like, not only did he scream at the top of his lungs, turn around from the TV, throw his headset off, like, totally lost his headset. The same thing happened to him again because Joker does that shit to you later on in the game, and he had almost the same reaction. He kept the headset the second time, but
I did, but I still screamed. I fucking fucking Joker. But games like that, we played like Labyrinthine. We played that, yes. And I had a lot of jump scares in that.
I jumped to the dumb little wooden sign thing that just jumped.
Yeah,
like,
and then
I laughed
at you. I laughed at you and was like, dude, really, you're jumping off of that? And literally, I took the lead, and one comes in, man, I'm, oh, God, okay, motherfucker, you son of a bitch. Playing Resident Evil 7, dude, a lot of jump scares in that. I mean, they serve their purpose, and they're there for that reason. It's the main reason why I won't play horror games, because I don't like jump scares, man. I can't.
I think the best titles fuse. They fuse both, you know. The jump scares, like, they serve a purpose to, at some peak moment, guarantee that you get to a very heightened point of anxiety.
Yeah.
Even if you've been at, like, some simmering level leading up to it, they make sure that you're in it right there. But if the whole game is consistent jump scare, like, you become desensitized. You never have, like, the ebb and flow, and it kind of kills it. So the games who can balance it well are the ones that are good games or movies or anything when it comes to that.
I know a lot of people hate jump scares. You know, you see it in forums and everything like that. People are like, jump scares are cheap and blah, blah, blah. And I just say, no. Like, to me, it's not a good horror title without a few jump scares in there. Like, don't get me wrong, psychological horror reigns supreme, right? Mm-hmm. If you can get me into an atmosphere where I just feel terrified, where I just feel the fear setting in, because I'm like, I don't want to take another step further because I don't know what's over there. But when you get me thinking like that and then do a jump scare on me, that's like the best of both worlds, because you mm-hmm. not only did you right. earn that jump scare, you're also mixing in, you know, a type of horror that's much more active compared to the slowly settling in horror, you know, the one that it takes time to pull you in, and you have to like be willing to let you pull it in.
Yeah, the cool thing right. about Pete's channel as well, as he said before, he does allow for his channel points, like you to, you know, he has like a cheap scare and then a jump scare, and it's always fun seeing Peter play through these games and no one's jump scared him in a while, and like you'll do it and he'll just freak out. He also has one that also jump scares the people that are watching. And that's my favorite one to use.
Possibly. I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, there's definitely one that says, warning, do not redeem this.
Yeah, do not redeem.
And that's such a great aspect for a channel that's focused around horror, is to have, like, you know, the jump scares are part of the game, but to have exactly. it be a part of your channel that somebody can just, like, throw at, you know, a natural, not even part of the game one at you. So even if the game shouldn't have one, you can just authentically make it. It's great.
Exactly. And that's what kind of sets his, you know, stream apart from everyone else. And I absolutely love every aspect of it. It's great. For those of you who are not following Horrible Pete on Twitch, please.
What the fuck are you doing?
Right. Follow Horrible Pete on Twitch. Check him out. His streams are unparalleled. All right. Plays a lot of horror games.
Guys. Follow me.
Follow him.
Follow him. That way he can be scared instead of you. And if he's not scared enough, you can spend some points to scare him.
Exactly. And I do a little special on Halloween where all jump scares are 1 point.
Wow. That's a great deal.
That's a low price.
I'd buy that for
$1. Pete's a genuinely great guy who engages with his audience and is a great time to hang out and watch him play. Like, that's the whole point of going on Twitch. And you're going to go to some bigger channel and watch someone fucking like a Critical Role. I can see like they're streaming their game. That's a whole different thing. But someone who's got like that, they're not fucking like Tim Tatman's not talking to you or whoever the fuck. Is that a guy? I don't fucking watch big Twitch streamers. Yeah. I don't give a shit. They don't give a fuck. If you go watch, like, Pete talks to everybody who's in
there. Tim won't talk to you. I'll talk to you.
Right. He will talk to you. Oh, he'll know you. You'll pop in. He'll know you by name after a while. You hang out.
Yeah.
And, like, your Discord pops off. There's tons of people in there hanging out. It's a community.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes. Peter's got a Discord, which is great. His Discord's amazing. He has a whole bunch of different things. You know, he's got his art and pics. He's got some food porn in there if you want to post your food and whatnot, things you're making for dinner and all that. Peter's got it on. He's got it going on. Pete, is there anything else that you would like to touch on the Good Game Guys podcast?
I guess I'll just have to end it by saying probably the scariest game I've ever played. Let me tell you guys that, right? Because that's fun. Like, what's the scariest game you've ever played? Maybe you guys can tell me yours. So, scariest game I've ever played. 100%. It might... Listen.
Sorry. Carla. She's got to get her 10
just
seconds.
Just doesn't
want to
miss her chance to be on the podcast. I don't blame her.
She's like, let me be on it. Scariest game I have ever played. And it might sound cliche, but it's just true. Nothing else has ever made me feel as terrified as this game. I still have not gone back to replay it since beating it. And that is Outlast.
Yep. That would be also my choice.
I'm in agreement with you. It is the scary. You know why it's the scariest game? Because there's no way for you to defend yourself. It is just run and hide. And that is that's the most terrifying. Even like
An asylum.
In an asylum, like, dude.
With naked patients that just chase after you.
It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. If anyone has not played Outlast, play it, because like we said, it's a terrifying game, and man, that game makes you question everything. You're just like,
and you still get that same resource management that you'd get out of another game where you're like trying to keep track of, you know, your very few amount of bullets, like from Resident Evil, where in, you know, Outlast, it's the batteries. And dude, it's way fucking scarier to like your battery died and you know there's a dude nearby, like fuck, and trying to get that. And then when you poke it back, you're like, oh, if something's right there, way scarier than like, oh fuck, I ran out of bullets, let me reload real quick. Because like, at least you know you're gonna pop off once you reload it. But even if you get the battery back in, it just means you're gonna see yourself die. It's fucking terrible.
It's awful. It's so scary.
I know it's like not the title game or whatever, but like the whole sequence with like the that one segment where like the doctor guy or whatever, like the whole bit of that, fuck that whole, I don't want to ever replay that part again. I like want to skip that whole segment if I ever play it again. Parts ass.
There's a reason I haven't gone back
in a good way, but
there's a reason I have not played through it again.
That was
when
the,
you that was go into one that. Part. It's kind of like the eye surgery thing, probably. Again, I haven't played that part, but like when you keep like gets you back in the chair and takes you into the room at that one point, and he's like cutting off.
That's like the.
You
that's
don't like need the, these fingers.
Yeah, dude. Ugh.
That was the like one part where I was like, dude, no, I can't. Like, once I'm done with this game, I'll never touch it ever again. I'm all set.
Plus, I also don't think it, like, how scary is it when you have like the night vision, you look around and there's this big dude with his fucking his cocks hanging out, and I'm like, oh. Not only is this dude coming after me, he is butt-ass naked. Yeah. He's his dick is swinging while he's chasing me.
Yeah, man's packing. Man's bringing heat.
Yeah, and
you know, I'm just saying.
He's trying to take your meat. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to eat you. He's trying to kill you, dude. Nothing scarier.
Also,
by
the
end,
the story wrapped up pretty well too. I think it was great. That and the DLC was.
The DLC. Oh my goodness, the DLC with the groom.
So good.
Whew. The whole sequence when you're on the table with the saw.
And like the, like, you know, just the storyline that came with like the addition that it did, or it was like, you know, it's like, what more could you add to the game? Well, you did this. It's like a little side thing. Mm-hmm. It was great.
It's cool. It's very cool.
Explain more
innovative.
Of it. So I have not finished Outlast 2. I played
not as
I'd
good.
Say at least like 3-4 hours of it, but I haven't finished it.
Not as good. Like, still like a good game. Not as scary either.
Game,
honestly, it takes place in the woods mainly, in a mine section. But on it, like, this is partly the reason why Blair Witch wasn't really that scary to me after a while, was like you can only run around in the woods for so long before the setting just kind of loses its luster. However, I will say Outlast 2 had one scene that I will dub the scariest scene I have ever experienced in gaming. And that one's clipped. That one you can actually just go on my channel. And I don't think anything will ever top... Nothing will ever top that. The horror that was in my face watching that scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. If you want to see that, head over to twitch.tv/horriblepete. HorrorBlePete.
Yes.
Go check it out.
Check him out. Pete. As always, brother, thank you. Thank you so much, man, for being here and joining us on the old Good Game Guys.
Thank you,
guys. I'd love
to
leave you guys with a last little fun fact about Dead Space that maybe you already know if you care about it a lot. But Isaac Clarke derives his name from a combination of two prolific sci-fi writers, if you know that.
Really?
That's just a fun fact I happen to look up. His name is a combination of Isaac Asimov.
Yeah, the guy who wrote iRobot.
Yeah, his bibliography of sci-fi novels is like 500 books or more. And then Arthur C. Clarke, the author of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yup.
Wow.
So he's a fusion of their names thrown together.
That's pretty fucking cool.
It's pretty cool.
I didn't
cool.
know.
I was not necessarily, well, 2001 A Space Odyssey, I guess you could say, is kind of horror. Not in the same way that
Dead Space is. But, I would agree with
in
that.
In a more like, existential crisis kind of way.
That's pretty sweet. Hell yeah. I love that.
That's awesome. One fun fact that I'll leave you guys with real quickly.
Ooh.
The man who created the Dead Space franchise, he wanted to make Dead Space the scariest game ever. His new game will be coming out soon. He has a new studio. Because Visceral closed down.
What is the name of the game? Because I remember seeing the trailer. We watched the trailer at E3.
It is
or like not E3, Game Awards, the Game Awards.
Yeah, it was at the Game Awards. So his new game is called the Callisto Protocol.
Yes, bro.
And it is set in the PUBG universe, the Player Unknown's Battlegrounds universe. Yes, not is. Sure how that I'm not sure how they tie in, but
that's probably the weirdest fucking thing I've ever
heard. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That CG trailer that they put out was weird.
It was super
But I was
weird.
Also thinking the whole time, I was like, this looks like Dead Space. And then when they said who it was by, I was like, oh, no wonder.
No wonder why.
Makes sense.
Exactly. But yeah, Peter, once again, thank you for joining us on the podcast. We appreciate having you here because, you know, we are good friends IRL as well.
Yeah, and thanks everybody for tuning in and listening to us for what's probably a longer than normal episode, but that's fine because that's what it's going to be for these guest ones. Ideally, we'll try to do a guest episode bi-weekly throughout the remainder of season two, see how that goes, feel it out, and if you want to be a guest or you have a suggestion of who we should have on next, either tweet at us on Twitter at goodgameguyspod or you email us goodgameguyspod@gmail.com with your normal questions, game suggestions, or if you want to be a guest, just let us know
and
come hang out.
If you want to follow our guest on Twitch, like Shane said before, it's twitch.tv/horriblepete. You can also follow him at on Twitter at horriblepete as well. But yeah,
thank you guys. Yes, I really appreciate being on here, and I just have one thing to say to your audience.
Yes.
Guys, tell your friends about Good Game Guys.
Hey.
Do it. Spread the word.
Tell them all.
Tell them all. Tell your family. Tell your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters,
grandparents,
your cousins.
Bro, let them know.
You
know? Tell the,
you know what?
Tell the fucking family
it's
dog.
The best, it's the best way. In your Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you go, you watch Horrible Pete for a while. You shit your pants. It's too scary. Take a little break. You listen to a little Good Game Guys. That's your little palate cleanser. You hop back in, watch a little more horror afterwards. You know?
Exactly.
There you go.
That's how it is.
Planned out your weekend for you. You're welcome.
Make everyone listen to the podcast. Facts. If you have to, take their phone, steal their phone, put on the podcast, and then just set it down.
Strap them down and kind of remake the eye surgery thing, but it's like it's a phone instead.
Yep.
And it's got audio blaring out. And they're like, I really don't want to. I got to go to work. And you're like, just fucking listen to it.
Listen to it.
Or don't. Maybe don't get that extreme, but you get the idea.
Stand outside of their window with a boombox playing the podcast.
And just bumping.
Just bumping the podcast. So rock.
Make sure
their
it's their boombox. Their boombox, though. You know, you got
to
get the view count.
Right. That's true.
Hack into the Bluetooth speakers in their house.
Right.
Leave a voicemail on their mom's cell phones. She has to call them and ask to come fix it.
Right.
And then you have to listen to it inadvertently.
Right.
Be creative is all we're trying to say.
Exactly. And if you cross criminal boundaries, just don't tell us.
Right.
We know. Just you didn't hear it here. That's all.
We didn't tell you to do half. We didn't tell you to do half these things. But no. Thank you guys for listening.
I put a disclaimer on the beginning of this episode.
Yes. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. And we will catch y'all later.
Thanks for joining us. Y'all have a great week.
Adios.